In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are in a big time right now. And my heart rejoices to see the church so full right now. Because here's the reality. The rest of the world is now still getting ready. They're almost done with Christmas. We haven't even begun yet. We're still preparing. That's why this time is so hard for us in American culture as Orthodox Christians, because hopefully we're preparing. We're preparing. Like when you go into a great dinner, you don't eat that day. You want to save your appetite. It's the same. We're waiting. We've been holding out on the eggnog, holding out on the meat and the toasting and all that. Not because we don't enjoy those things. We do. But we enjoy them differently, is the hope. We enjoy them as a small outward celebration of something much more important that's happening inward. And you can't truly feast as a Christian unless you fast. And I think you'll see, hopefully each year, Great Lent, Nativity Fast, or Mission Fast, that the more you push yourself, the more you pray, the more we push ourselves, the more beautiful the feast is. The more you realize that you don't need bread, right? Man doesn't live by bread alone. We often think that. Right? How would you know if you never take away the bread and put prayer in there? Most of us see fasting just like, well, you can't eat that, what a bummer. It's not about that. It's about allowing God to actually do something to you and to experience His grace. It's a really practical way to test God, so to speak. To say, oh, I'm going to eat less. You fill me up. And I can tell you, it works. I feel lighter on fast days. I feel more energy. But at the beginning, I was too busy complaining about fasting to get the blessing or the benefit. So we have one day left today. We don't jump the gun as Orthodox Christians. It's amazing. The lights are going to start going off. They might go till New Year's Day and then they're off. And we're still roaring through the feast. The 12 days of Christmas, which culminates in the Feast of Theophany. And you should know in the ancient church, Theophany was a much bigger part of the celebration. It was one big celebration. Theophany, the baptism of Christ, Revelation of the Holy Trinity, was a bigger emphasis than Christmas, actually. They were still celebrated in the 3rd and 4th centuries when they separated liturgically Christmas to be its own feast. It was always celebrated, but given special hymns to add to the solemnity of the day. So for us Orthodox, this is one of the 12 major feasts, right? We know, Father Paul gave an amazing homily last night at Vespers. I don't want to redo it, but simply said, the God who made the universe, who made stars that are a million times bigger than our sun, of which there are so many in the sky, this same God became a child. A defenseless, meek and mild, as the Christmas carols say, Him. Why is that spectacular? It shows the love of God. Right? St. Justin Popovich would say, I don't want any God that hasn't suffered like me. I don't want Allah. I don't want the God of the Jews. He doesn't know my life. He doesn't know my sufferings and my pain. But Christ, which is different than everything else in the whole world, the living God who made all these things, heaven and earth and all that's in them, all the planets, everything, He came as a young child. Unbelievable humility. And why did He do it? For one reason, out of love. To unite earth to heaven. To unite divinity to humanity again. To raise us up to paradise. Right? To bring us back to that place. We all want to be in paradise, right? We all want to be in a place where there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's no death. Every human heart wants that. We couldn't do it on our own. That's what we're celebrating, this amazing feast tonight. We begin and tomorrow. So why don't we celebrate it very much? Well, Father Paul pointed out that we're lukewarm last night. The Lord says, be hot or be cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Now, I dare say that's the comfortable place for our times. I'm Orthodox. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Come on. You know, I'm so sick of Father Justin talking about this fasting and confession. He's a fundamentalist. Because we like to be lukewarm. We like to be comfortable. But the Holy Fathers say, there's no such thing as comfortable Christianity, brothers and sisters. If it's comfortable, there's no cross. If it's comfortable, there's no resurrection. If it's comfortable, there's no sacrifice. If it's comfortable, there's no movement towards God. It might seem better. It might seem, oh, I can have my cake and eat it too. I can be baptized. I can be a Christian. But I can live like a worldly person too. And you do neither one very well. The Lord would say, better to be a total sinner. Don't even fake it here. Go and be a total sinner. At least you're honest and cold. Or be on fire for the love of Christ. It's a radical life we're called to as Christians. And when you live it that way, it has a dynamic, profound effect on your everyday life. A lot of people go through the motions and say, why am I not changing, Father? Why am I not? I'm baptized. I'm doing everything. Are we really taking it seriously? I mean, look at our culture. People, we think, oh, this is a very Christian holiday in America. Do you know the history of Christmas in America? In the 1600s, late 1600s, it was a crime to celebrate Christmas. Did you know that? It was a crime to celebrate Christmas. And in fact, one of the terms of the law was, one of the early laws of the Puritans was, if anyone showed this quote-unquote spirit of Christmas, they could be jailed and fined 5 shillings. Right? They didn't want feasts. It was very dour and very, very, you know, the Puritans, they hated the feasts of the church. They hated what they thought was Roman Catholicism. They hated, so no Christmas, no Easter, the services were no different. There was no fun. There was no joy. It was very devoid of these kind of things. In the 1800s, 1700s, no different. 1800s, people associated Christmas with those rabble-rousers, those drinkers. It was not popular in America at all. Meanwhile, for 2,000 years in every Orthodox country, Jerusalem, the Middle East, Greece, Russia, Romania, Bulgaria, Georgia, all these places, it's been the center of the culture. Right? Hopefully, the culture formed by the church. People say, you know, put Christ back in Christmas. One priest says, put the Mass back in Christmas. Right? Put the liturgy back into it. So it's very artificial to act like, oh, we had a really serious spiritual Christmas in America, and we got to get back to that. In fact, right now, in Protestant America, it's more popular than it's ever been in history. So America's celebration of Christmas is not churchy. It's not liturgical anyway. It is the height of culture. And interesting fact, do you know what changed that in America? Thank God. One book. It's called The Christmas Carol. Right, there's a movie about it now, right? The Man Who Invented Christmas, is that what it's called? About Charles Dickens? Really, it's amazing. It shows the power of literature. Right? Dostoevsky in Russia, the power of liturgy to transform the hearts of people in a Christian way. Charles Dickens wrote his book, The Christmas Carol. How many of you have read that book? Raise your hand. You got to read this book. All of you. That's your homework. Next 2 weeks, you got to read the book. It's short. I guess you could watch the movie, right? There's plenty of versions out there. It really tugged at people's heartstrings. You know why? So the Age of Enlightenment came, and it's all about cold reason, reason, reason. And people hated that. Their hearts were empty. So in the Victorian era, which is this time, the whole world swung back to sentimentality, which is the other end of the spectrum, sentimentality. And they wanted tradition. They didn't have them. They yearned for traditions and songs. And guess what? Orthodox people always had those. Talk to the Romanians about the Kulinda, the carolers. Talk to the Serbians about the Božić, old calendar Christmas, and the songs they sing. Talk to the Russians about the songs of Christmas, right? But same in every Orthodox country, the culture informed by the church. But it was this book, Christmas Carol, which you should read it, about this man who's a terrible man, Scrooge. He's terrible, he's miserly, he's worldly, and he can't stand joy. There's mention of church. Bob Cratchit, you know, the man with the sick son. He goes to church a couple times in the book. But really, it's in the world. And really, in a worldly sense, no one could do any better than what Scrooge did in the bottom line of that book. So even in a worldly sense, even in a we leave this church kind of sense, I'm thankful as a Christian, as an Orthodox Christian, that our society in some way is trying to celebrate Christmas. But let's not be fake about it, okay? Some guy got in trouble recently in America. He has Jesus, the words, letters of Jesus, lit up in his front porch. And he's told to take it down because it's offensive to people. Right? So let's not kid ourselves. We live in a Christian culture. Our culture likes to sing and dance and rock around the Christmas tree and drink and eat. Anybody can do that. And here's the temptation. That becomes Christmas for us. That becomes the fullness of the feast. It's not bad, but it's like an icing on the cake. What if there's no cake? No substance? For us, brothers and sisters, we have the substance. The greatest event in human history happened 2,000 years ago, and it happens every day in the life of a person. What do you mean? Every human soul is seeking for God, wants to meet God face to face. The prophets did. All those people you heard about today in the boring gospel reading, right? Salathiel, Zerubbabel, blah, 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 blah. Everyone goes, these, all these names are boring. I'm reading these names. We read these names to show that Christ was real. He's not a fairy tale. This wasn't a fairy tale. Lots of good fairy tales, but they're just moral lessons. This shows that Christ was a real human being, living flesh. That God loved us so much that He felt our pain. He wept. He hungered. He thirsted. He wept over His friend Lazarus dying. And He suffered a terrible death. And He rose from the dead, all to raise us up to paradise, to elevate us back to that place. How are we going to celebrate this feast, is what I would ask you. Well, we need to wake up. We have one day left, brothers and sisters. If you haven't fasted, fast today, please. Don't jump the gun. Fast today. Eat less. Go to the nursing home today. We're going to, after liturgy, we're all going to go in a group and go to the nursing home and sing for a few minutes. Go! Oh, I don't want other plans. Of course you do. We always have other plans. There's always something better to do than pray or to fast. When's that going to stop? Make it stop today. Say, I'm going to live for Christ. If we love Christ, we can't pray in the morning and night. If we love Christ, we can't keep a fast and control ourselves. If we love Christ, we can't stay away from bad places. Of course we can. But why don't we? Because we haven't experienced Christ. We've all experienced all the Christmas carols. We've all experienced eating ham. We've all done that. And it hasn't changed our hearts. I challenge you, this nativity, try something different. Listen to what was said in that book. I love this book. I'm going to quote the end of it to you. It was said about Scrooge, this terrible guy who had a change of heart by a visitation of angels. It said this, Bob Cratchit was very surprised. And so were many people who found Scrooge so changed. Scrooge became a better person. To Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. Scrooge became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the old good city knew, or any other good old city or town in the world could know. It was always said of Scrooge that he knew how to keep Christmas well. May that truly be said of us and all of us. So, brothers and sisters, I look forward to being together tomorrow. As Father Paul said, my heart is excited to celebrate tonight, to be together tonight. Don't end the feast now. This doesn't replace it. This is getting our hearts ready. Let's be here tonight at 5 o'clock for the Vesper service, getting ready to celebrate Christ. We're cooking our food and getting it ready for tomorrow, but let's open Christ first. Come tomorrow morning. Be changed. I have presents new. We're all busy. You know, in the book, there was the ghost of his friend. He had a business partner named Jacob Marley, the Scrooge man, who was a great businessman, but was now in chains, suffering constantly. And Scrooge said, you were really successful in the world. What's wrong now? Listen to what he said. He said, you're a good businessman. Business, cried the ghost, wringing its hands again. Mankind was my business. The common welfare of everyone was my business. Charity, mercy, forgiveness, forbearance, love, those were my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the ocean of what should have been my business. Brothers and sisters, let's not get caught up in the business. Let us eat and drink and be merry tomorrow morning together in this 12 days of Christmas. But let it not be just a hollow shell. How do we do that? We pray. We fast. We repent. You ask forgiveness of everyone today. And you come tonight with eagerness. And you read your prayers tonight. And you come tomorrow morning to receive Holy Communion. And you ask God, Christ, be born in me. The sinful idiot, come into me. I don't want to just I don't want to numb my inner pain with food and drink and wine. No, I want you to be born in my heart. And that's the miracle of Christ. Not one event 2,000 years ago. The mystery of faith is that the billions of people alive, God's waiting for that incarnation to take place in the heart of every human being. May God help us to sanctify our hearts and sanctify this desperate culture through living a holy Orthodox Christian life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.